again, and welcome to another episode of the Store Crazy Podcast. I am your host, Rob Nelson, and I am joined today by...
Carly Kramer is the co-host. Hello.
Thank you for joining us. Today, we are going to be talking about the subject of colleges in Grand Island's history.
And what a subject it is. Speaking of subjects, I have some more puns for you. Would you like a joke?
I can't wait for this.
All right. Why did the sun in the sky, that is not like a sun, why did the sun skip college?
I don't know why.
It already has like a million degrees.
I mean, that's terrible.
That's correct, though.
Actually. It is. It is correct.
That's what I do with my college degree, is I am on this podcast making puns. So,
mission fulfilled.
Yep.
Well, today we are going to be joined by a few of our staff members here at Stern Museum to talk about the history of colleges in Grand Island. And then later in the show, we are going to shift gears and we are going to be talking with Michelle Lubkin, who is the Associate Dean of Students over at Central Community College here in Grand Island. It's going to be a great conversation, and why don't we just jump right into it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, calculator, Carly.
Oh my gosh.
Hello again, and welcome to another episode of the Stuart Crazy Podcast. I'm joined today by curator of Stuart Museum, Carrie Stouffer, and registrar of Stuart Museum, Samantha Stump.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome back to the podcast.
Yes, I'm getting a little bit of deja vu on this.
Yeah, I'm sure. Today we're going to talk about colleges in the Grand Island community. It's back to school time, and so we thought that would be on theme for the present moment. We have a unique history here in Grand Island, Nebraska, of there being several different sorts of schools that were offered in the early part of this state's history. What were some of those schools, and what sort of programs did they offer?
Well, we had about four different schools. We had the Grand Island Business College, the
Grand Island Baptist College,
Grand Island Baptist College, the Grand Island School of Nursing, and the Dressmaking College.
Dressmaking College, yep. And the Baptist College was also a conservatory of music.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it had that early name and then kind of moved into the Baptist College. And so, yeah, there was a lot of higher education. Kind of similar today in that, you know, we've had different community colleges and so forth in Grand Island. And, you know, have a lot of access to online institutions.
For sure.
But yeah, early Grand Island was definitely a place of higher education.
Booming.
Yeah, and when we say early Grand Island, we're talking about the Grand Island Baptist College and or Conservatory of Music starting in 1882, the Business College starting a little bit later thereafter, I think 1885, but really all sort of coming to a head at the same time and offering all kinds of unique opportunities.
Yep. And they had dormitories and people stayed, you know, on site and, you know, all the things that you expect of a college.
Yeah.
Definitely co-ed, definitely sporting teams.
Yep. People came to Grand Island specifically to go to college, and it was a lot easier for people to get here at that time because we had a couple different good railroad stops in Grand Island, so you could just get on a train, go to your school of choice in Grand Island, Nebraska, and when you, you know, on holidays, get back on the train and go home for a little bit.
Yeah.
But a lot of people stayed after college, too, so.
Yeah, around the same time, Sam, you mentioned the railroad. That's kind of the place where the nursing college is sort of born as a result of that industrial growth.
Yeah.
By the mid 1880s, Nebraska, or sorry, Grand Island rather, has a population that's near 2,000, and the Union Pacific Railroad has already come to town. There's also a Pikes Peak gold rush that's happening further out west. And in the context of that, there's a foundation of several sisters that come together to sort of form the hospital and the college. Is that kind of what happened?
Yeah, no, I think they came together and they really looked at the need of having a hospital here and started the St. Francis Hospital.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, very shortly after that, they were, you know, called to help people, but they were also called to educate people and to work in the entire community.
Yeah.
I think, you know, those are some of the messages I've read from their early work. And so they started the nursing college, which, you know, was really going well all the way through World War II.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, you know, we still have strong nursing programs around.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. So I think the school itself, the St. Francis Nursing School, opened in 1920. And it lasted for six decades until 1980. And it was just considered during its heyday to be one of the premier institutions in the state, if not even further reaching.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely. And, you know, in the 1940s, it was kind of a social place for men and women to meet too. And the gentlemen that were at the Air Force Base would come, and they would have dances. And
yep, we actually have a great picture here of a meeting of nurses and soldiers in the basement of St. Francis where they're having a dance.
Yeah, we have a lot of great photos and artifacts in the Stern Museum collection that kind of highlight this boom in education that took place in our community. We have an exhibit that's on display right now even. It's called New in Town, and it kind of talks about, you know, that back to school narrative of students who were, you know, starting a life educationally in Grand Island and, you know, went through some of the same things that students of 2020 are going through in the 1920s.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. They had to
fill their trunks up.
Exactly.
Find their way here.
Learn to like or dislike a new roommate and
set up their dorm room.
Yeah.
And, you know, and also make those decisions as to like what sort of school that they wanted to go to, because as we said, there were those options.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there really was the, you know, more general liberal arts. And then there was more the business college if you wanted to do the accounting. And I think that really, there was a lot of conversation in Grand Island about which one people should go to and so forth.
Yep. We had a couple very prominent Grand Islanders that attended both colleges, the business college and the Baptist college.
I found a fun advertisement from the business school in 1921 that just sounded very familiar to the arguments on both sides of the coin today between like the humanities education and the business education. And it kind of is a little bit just dismissive of the liberal arts in general, as you can imagine. But it essentially says, would you rather go to, you know, 4 years of a liberal arts college or have 1 year in a business college and then essentially be guaranteed $80 a month afterwards? The quote goes on to say, French, German, Greek, Latin, and music are luxuries, good enough for a few people, but generally they are not productive. Business colleges furnish their graduates with a better education for practical purposes than either Princeton, Harvard, or Yale. I would rather be able to understand the science of bookkeeping and modern accounting than to be able to translate Horace. Your Latin and Greek will never help you solve the mysteries of business problems. I can just see the rivalry kind of developing across town in Grand Island.
I know a couple people who went to business school, and they say they'd rather have gone to the other route. So
the other route. Well, probably same on the other side too.
Yeah. You know, so. You got to have a little bit of both, I think.
I think so.
But there were other ways that the college life experience of maybe the 1920s is similar to the 2020s. There were football games and football teams and, you know, as you said, dorm living and...
Well, and I think, you know, sometimes we get in the habit of thinking of history as being, you know, really dull and one-sided and, you know, but yeah, there were girls basketball tournaments. There were, and they were very competitive, and the whole community would come out and park their trucks and their cars all the way around the field and watch all these games. They had rugby teams, tennis, all the things that, you know, we enjoy now too.
Yep. For sure.
Yeah, of course, there were some differences. And, of course, the uniforms were quite different. Probably the ball, too, which we do have on display.
Yeah, the football we have a football on display from a 1924 football game between Doan and the Grand Island Baptist College. And the score of that game ended in a 0-0 tie. So very, very fun to watch, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, and it's exciting. Fur coats were a big deal for men. So we've got one of the popular raccoon coats.
Yep.
And that was the 20s too, wasn't it?
Or was that that was about the 1920s. Yep. There was even a song written about mm-hmm. the craze of the raccoon coat in colleges.
Yeah, and that, it mentions Nebraska.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Oh, it does? I didn't know that.
I believe the quote that they're going with is that they're describing the different makes of the coats, and they say in Nebraska made of Airedale.
Oh.
Which I don't know what they're referring to exactly, but it's a fun song.
They
really
do.
Great.
What I think the song shows is that they were highlighting colleges that were important in the United States
at
the
deal.
Time. And so it was just Nebraska, but I think higher education and sports have always been, Nebraska's always been kind of on the national stage.
Right.
At different times.
Yep.
Well, and I came across something else in my research that kind of ties the present to the past, and that's the issue of money and just the price of an education. It was something that they were thinking about during this time as well, so it's never necessarily been out of the public mind as far as that higher education is concerned. I came across one article that said that in 1921, upon a student graduating from their college, they were guaranteed a position within 30 days after graduation or their tuition would be refunded.
Wow.
So that's pretty remarkable. That's a bold statement also.
Yeah, for sure.
There's also in our collection, a promotional tool that they use to recruit students. And it's kind of this like a split between two characters and you're supposed to side with the one who's smarter. But there's this promotional tool that they use where it says like the title of the book is, "Will it pay to borrow the money?" And it's, you know, like John saved money all throughout high school, so he now has the ability to go to college, whereas Dave didn't, and now he's gonna have to work the rest of his life for a low wage. And don't be a Dave, be a John is kind of this Grand Island Business School promotional handout that they're trying to foster. But like, so as we said, like these schools are historic and they're not here anymore in town. What happened? Where did they end up going, or what was the context of them leaving Grand Island?
Well, the Baptist College, you know, they decided that they were going to merge with other colleges, and so they did, and kind of were based out of South Dakota. School, you know, regardless of money, it kind of grows and wanes at different times depending on what's happening.
Yep.
You know, depending on what industries are going on and what wars are going on and so forth. And so, you know, there was a time when things kind of fell off and there were other priorities.
Mm-hmm.
And so that closed. The Grand Island Business College actually went way until 1999.
Yep. For the students and teachers, it was kind of a shock that it was closing. But, you know, it was attributed to declining numbers and
financial status and all of that. But at the same time, you know, I think there was also more competition for education across the state as well.
Right.
And so, and other opportunities in Grand Island. You know, and there are so many different opportunities now that you can take. Back then, there was kind of another opportunity. I haven't mentioned that there was another college called the Dressmaking College.
Yes.
And I know you have looked into Dora Kolbeck, who was the founder and main educator of the Dressmaking College. And it was a very well-known place for women to go learn that trade and that craft.
Yep. Well, and she even invented her very own accordion pleater, which she traveled around the country with.
Oh, wow.
So she was a woman of innovation at the time.
Yeah. And she also helped out. Didn't she do some nursing, too?
Yes, she was actually, during the influenza epidemic of 1918, she operated the influenza hospital.
Yeah, that's, you know, it all comes around and connects in different ways, which is exciting.
And that's a pretty well-known, respected name in Grand Island. I know that the Stir Museum really promotes those sorts of stories, those impactful early individuals in our town's history, our community's history. Were there any other notable names who, you know, went to some of these schools that maybe the casual listener would have heard of and been familiar with?
Yes. So we actually have record that states that O.A. Abbott Jr. attended the business college, whereas Grace Abbott attended the Baptist college.
Right.
There you go. There's there's that versus humanities breakdown or divide again. Yeah, by 1931, I think, is when the Grand Island Baptist College officially closed its doors in Grand Island. But that was as a result of the Great Depression sweeping the nation. It didn't necessarily entirely cease to exist because it consolidated with a number of other schools, including the Sioux Falls College, and the faculty, records, and property, and some students, I'm sure, moved to the Sioux Falls area and kind of joined together in order to keep some form of an education alive.
Yeah, there were people that were in the middle of their college careers that transferred and went that direction and moved up there.
Yep.
And I know, the business college was around in some way, shape, or form until fairly recently in terms of local history. I think it closed finally in 1999, but it changed locations several times throughout that period. I think it started, I have it here that says in 1897, it occupied the third floor of a building at 3rd and Spruce in Grand Island. But just a few years later, it was located in a building on Locust Street between 2nd and 3rd Street. You know, the dorms were also in several places as well throughout Grand Island. And it just kind of, I don't know that it was big enough to really be a place like Grand Island Baptist College, but it just changed locations and
found a way to go on. For what they were teaching, and they could kind of morph into different areas. Whereas the Baptist College had more of a campus feel. We even have the Baptist College gates here.
Yes,
we do. Grounds. So as you go into our arbor, you know, you can walk through those gates. And I think that was the kind of collegiate feel that the Baptist College had, as opposed to, you know, kind of being in and among the businesses of downtown is where the business colleges were.
Yeah.
Well, I know we have lost a few of these colleges, but there are still a couple that are around. And when we come back from the break, we are going to be talking with Michelle Lubkin, who is the associate dean from Central Community College here in Grand Island. So I think I'm going to turn it over to that conversation here in a minute, but first we are going to take a break and we'll be back after these words.
Today's podcast is sponsored by William Siebler Blacksmithing and Horseshoeing. Plows sharpened at reasonable rates. Dealer in farm and spring wagons. R.L. Dack is the agent. Over 30 years of active experience in the trade. All repairing promptly attended to. Satisfaction given in all his work. Your patronage is solicited.
And we are back with more of the Stuart Crazy podcast. I am joined today by Michelle Lubkin, the Associate Dean of Students at Central Community College. Michelle, thank you for being on the podcast.
Glad to be here.
I'm glad to have you. I just wanted to kind of start this segment of the podcast by asking you, you know, what drove you to pursue a career in higher education? What brought you to Grand Island and what brought you to Central Community College?
Well, I have worked at Central Community College for 19 years. And so I'm on year 20.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. And prior to working at Central Community College, I worked for Nebraska Wesleyan and for the NAIA in athletics. So I've always kind of been around higher ed.
Yeah.
And my personal life brought me to Grand Island and was looking for a job. And truly, my experience working with athletes to, you know, build success and balance, like being on the field with classroom expectations, kind of led me to a job of being a recruiter at Central Community College. And then after 7 years of being a recruiter, then the admissions director, and now the associate dean of students. So I've just kind of like grown up there and had life experiences there and learned truly in my experience how amazing the community college experience is and what it does for the state and the local community. So I'm from Columbus originally, which is where one of our campuses are.
Sure.
And then I work in Grand Island and I live in Hastings. So I'm just kind of where all of our campuses are located. And it's neat to just see the impact Central Community College has in all the locations.
Yeah. I'm a Lincoln kid. So I have to ask, those are the three locations, Hastings, Columbus, Grand Island?
Grand Island. Yep. Those are our three main campuses. And then we also have by nickname, we call it our super center in Kearney because it's pretty large. And then we have centers also in Holdridge, Lexington, and Ord, Nebraska.
And do you know off the top of your head what the student population of the entirety of that is?
So that's a unique question for a community college, if I were to be honest.
Okay.
Because We have 4 credit programs, which, if I were to be honest, our credit programs, those are going to be, I'm here for a college certificate or diploma or full 2-year degree. I'm taking some transfer classes. They're taking classes for credit.
In gotcha. Those cases.
So we have about, depending on the year, we're around 6,000 students that attend for credit-based programs. Then we have our adult education program, which is like English language learners seeking your GED. And we have business and industry, which is taking going to employers and helping them train their employees for a variety of skills. And we have recreational classes that could be ghost hunting that's going to be here at Sturr Museum in October, to learning how to do your taxes, to dancing, and to beehives. You know, we yeah. have so many. So when we look at all the people who come to learn and be trained at Central Community College, then we average closer to like the 18,000-19,000 people.
Wow, that's incredible. I would not have guessed that.
Yeah.
That's a lot of different sorts of students that come through your doors. What are the kinds of services that are provided to make sure that, you know, that diverse crowd gets everything that they need and want out of Central?
So one of the things that's important to know is we do kind of categorize our services. So we have a department just for adult education.
Yeah.
We have a department just for training in industry, and people focused on industry, those who are doing 2-year programs, those who are doing transfer programs. So in entirety, you know, some of the unique things that we do, Central Community College was one of the first community colleges in Nebraska to have people who specialize in being transfer specialists. They help you if you come to Central Community College and you're going to take classes and transfer onto a 4-year institution, they're going to work with you to make sure everything transfers. Or if it's not going to transfer, why are you taking it?
Yeah.
Type thing. So that's a service that we provide to make sure the validity of what we're doing is worth your money and your time. And in addition to that, over the years, we've added counseling services. So we have licensed mental health practitioners who do counseling on site at Central Community College, and with COVID also virtually. So that's a unique service that we offer. And then we have bilingual staff to aid to support the different types of students that come in and out of our buildings. And I'm going to say we have, on average, between 20 to 25 different languages spoken of people who come to take the variety of classes that we offer at Central Community College. So we do not have interpreters for every language, but because Spanish is the highest percentage, we do have bilingual staff here in Grand Island in a variety of departments to aid with providing services and comprehension of what we're bringing to the table and is it a right fit, those types of things.
I can imagine that there are just any number of situations you have to prepare for to meet those sorts of demands. I was a student athlete myself starting out in college, and I had a great experience at Southeast Community College in Lincoln, just getting together with mentors and people who were familiar with athletes who were at one point in their progression as a student to maybe move on to a 4-year college later. And I was always just blown away by their support and ability. I think community college is a great starting point for a lot of students, and I think it gives them a taste of that college experience. And I do think there are just so many benefits, in my opinion, to it. The cost benefit of it, I think, is the first thing that comes to mind. I guess another question I was going to ask is, earlier in the segment, we were talking about the benefits of community college with regard to tuition, that this is a problem that's been happening for as long as there have been colleges in Grand Island. Do you think that the future of CCC is bright in terms of providing those sorts of benefits, job placement right after a 2-year degree or things of that nature?
Well, first, if it's okay, I'll share a little bit of a story. So I've been at Central Community College for 19 years. And when I first started, I was a recruiter. So coming into the job, I came from a private liberal arts school, Nebraska Wesleyan. That's where I got my undergrad. That's where I was working. And then I come to a community college. And it was very much discussed and researched, and materials were provided to me about how community colleges provide the most job opportunities in the state. And it didn't really sit with me at first, because I had been told for so many years, you need a 4-year degree, you need a 4-year degree, you need a 4-year degree. But over time, learning about our programs and learning about the amazing different types of programs that we were offering at Central Community College, my eyes were opened.
Yeah.
And that took time then when I was working with high schools to help them understand that, a four-year degree is not the only route. So there was high schools who were at first like, eh, I don't have anybody for you to talk to. All my students are going to four-year institutions. But then over time, I built like, well, tell me what they're doing. What are their goals? Do they anticipate staying in the state of Nebraska? And through those conversations, more and more high school counselors and like industrial arts teachers were willing to let me come in and kind of showcase why Central Community College, why community college in general could be a really great opportunity. So the community college recruiters, we actually teamed up 19 years ago to be like, we just need to educate more high schools and more community members about the value of a community college education and training. And we did that for about 5 years, 5 to 7 years. And then through that time, we got into more high schools and we brought in the opportunities for people to understand. So the state of Nebraska is broken up into 6 different community college regions. And then high school started saying, hey, well, I know you're supposed to stick to your region because you're supposed to kind of stay. We have 25 counties for Central Community College. We kind of only recruited in our 25 county area. We rarely went outside of it. And then schools in Lincoln and Omaha and North Platte were like, hey, but your college offers a program that the community college in my region doesn't. Can you please come out? Can you showcase? Can you come talk? I think I have some students who want to come your way. So I confidently feel that, yes, community colleges have a lot to offer to the state of Nebraska and to our local communities. As we look at the costs that go into attending a college and the opportunities, I do think that community colleges still kind of get the short end in terms of consideration. We have $1.5 million and we have 6,000 students. Let's say we have 6,000 students on average who are attending Central Community College, 6 to 8,000. We might have only 900 to 1,000 people actually apply for that $1.5 million.
Wow.
And I guarantee if more people applied, our foundation would continue to find more scholarship opportunities. So there's ways to help pay for the schooling. There's job placement opportunity that is over 90% in almost every program that we have.
Yeah, that's definitely a narrative that I think just needs to continue to be pushed to the wayside as much as possible. You know, speaking as somebody who's still in a graduate program at a university system, I've worked in universities and I see that narrative, or I've seen that narrative a lot of students maybe like when they enter a four-year college, that's just what their goal is. It's been pumped into them from a very early age that you need to go to this because it's the only path to success really. And you still have to do those first 2 years that aren't related to that thing that you really want to love and pursue, like your general education courses.
While transfer students are our highest population at Central Community College, I will say that our technical programs, our two-year programs that are applied sciences and lead you into a job, those are what are feeding our state and our local communities.
Exactly, yeah.
And so we're building middle managers with communication skills and life experiences. They're broader. They have more to bring to the table than just some book knowledge because they've lived life and gone to school at the same time. And that's what a lot of our advisory boards say that they appreciate about our students is that they have life experience.
And then take it a step further. I mean, the adult education courses, those are for anybody. You don't even necessarily have to have the goal beyond just taking the class. If you want to learn to paint or if you want to learn to cook or if you want to...
And I should differentiate. Adult education is for English language learners and getting your GED. And then there are what are called avocational or recreational classes.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Those are different.
Gotcha.
So, but I see what you're saying. The classes that are through our extended learning, extended learning is saying we're here for everybody, no matter age, no matter ability. We want to help you. If you want to learn something, we want to make sure you're always learning. You're a lifetime learner.
Does CCC have the like sorts of clubs and organizations or sports that other...
So we do not have collegiate athletics on the Grand Island campus. Our Columbus campus does have collegiate athletics, but Grand Island does not. We do have clubs and organizations. So one of our student organizations is Phi Theta Kappa, which is a college level honor society that has $3 million in transfer scholarships to go on to four-year institutions. We have what's called NSLS, which is the National Society for Leadership and Success. And they do these amazing national broadcasts, bringing in speakers like President Barack Obama.
Oh, wow.
Leaders from Huffington Post and authors to live broadcast. And our students can ask questions too and participate and have then later like debriefing, like small group discussions about what was presented and how that correlates to life today and life in Grand Island and life in Nebraska. We have a multicultural club. We have a Campus Crusade for Christ. a criminal justice club. Yeah, so we're trying to find ways to keep our students beyond the classroom. What are you learning? And we really press upon students, like, you can come here because we're a commuter campus. You can come here, go to class, and you can go home and go to work. But employers are looking for you. How did you make yourself well-rounded? What are you doing beyond your most recent experiences? Whether it be you came from the work industry or you came directly from high school, what is something new you put yourself in there to do? Whether it's in the community, you joined a student, you joined an organization to learn from, or did you join a club or volunteer opportunity so that you're learning how different people work together and have a common mission or a common goal, or if you have conflict resolution, so you can bring that to the table as an employee in the long run.
I think that sounds fantastic. We've been talking a lot about the history of some of these colleges in Grand Island today. Speaking with you today, we're really talking about what the future looks like for education in Grand Island or Columbus or Hastings.
Yeah.
What do you think that future looks like? Is it bright? Is enrollment on the rise? Are there...
Okay, so it's a semi, like, positive yet trick question.
Okay, sorry.
So do I think the future is bright? I do. I think that while Central Community College was, you know, hit with COVID, keep in mind we were already doing online classes, distance learning, where the instructor's physically in Grand Island, but you're taking the exact same course live in Hastings, Columbus, Lexington, Holdridge, Ord, all at the same time. We were already doing that. And we had in-person classes and these lab classes, and we have going to other locations to teach and things like that. So we had to adjust, don't get me wrong, but we were so used to technology that it came a little easier, maybe, than I think other institutions. But I do think from the experience and the expectations of, you know, students today and all the technology that's out there, our future is more hybrid classes. Hybrid meaning that you're going to come to class maybe occasionally, but you're not going to be here every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Maybe you only come on Wednesdays, and the other 2 days you do remote work and you do things in the field. So our medical assisting program and medical lab tech, very similar. They have lecture days where you come in, you use the labs, you get hands-on experiences in our labs and have instructor discussion. But then we're also giving you remote work to do and submit and dialogue and critically think on your own. So you're not always driving to campus anymore.
Great.
Yeah, so I think that's definitely a future that's going to grow even more. Online has grown, oh my gosh, so much since I've worked at Central Community College. But I think that the newer thing that's going to grow more is this hybrid concept. We'll be going. In addition, I think the need for bilingual employees is going to have to occur. Not necessarily for students, if I were to be honest. It's for support systems. A lot of the students who are looking at college or wanting to pursue 4-credit classes, they speak English. They write English. It's that they need their support systems to know the information and be there for them as well. So I think that's going to be a change for the future that we'll be needing to look at, as well as the population of our local communities change, we need to have more employees who look like our local community. And we have students through a project we recently did called The Beauty of Diversity. We interviewed 19 students to learn more about them and what they wanted in their college experience and what were highlights of their life and what brought them to Central and what they need in the future. And it was interesting to hear how one of the things that brought them to Central was because they saw somebody who looked like them.
Yeah.
And we have students from other locations who are like, well, I knew somebody in financial aid looked like me. Even if they had completely different perspectives on life, it was just, you know, I needed to know there was a comfort in finding someone who looked like me. So when I think of the future of Central, I think that the visual appearance of some of the employees will be different. And I think that the way we deliver the classes will be a hybrid style.
That's a huge component of being comfortable. I mean, this is a decision that you're going to have to keep for the next, you know, 1, 2, maybe more years of your life. So picking a place that you feel comfortable in and being yourself with is maybe the most important thing that you can choose as a student starting out in college.
And truly, that is exactly why we did this Beauty of Diversity project. We needed students to know that they do belong.
Yeah.
Especially as a commuter location, people are coming and going and they may easily be like, well, nobody's like me. Nobody faced the hurdles I face. Nobody has the unique immigration process that I face, or financial struggles or things like that. So we needed them to hear stories from students who did experience similar things to them. You're not alone. you do belong here. We want you to succeed type thing.
And what was the name of that project again?
Beauty of Diversity. So okay. Actually, if you go to our website in the search engine and you type in Beauty of Diversity, you can watch a trailer for it and you can listen to some of the student stories. And right now in our student center, we have banners of the 7 students who are willing for their full story to be told made. And so it's hanging up just to also see visually that it's people look different.
Yeah.
Attend here as well. So.
Well, Michelle, I only had one more question written down, and maybe you already answered it with the Beauty of Diversity project, but is there anything that's coming up in the CCC universe in the coming weeks, months that you're looking forward to taking place?
I would love to highlight a few things.
Yes, so, by all means.
We have what's called an animage table. So think of no more using of cadavers, and this is a human-sized iPad.
Okay.
And we are trying to help students explore biology, particularly human biology.
Wow, that.
And it has real images of bodies, 4 different, 2 males, 2 females, and so that you can literally, you know, move a heart, cut, you know, you're not actually cutting, but it's allowing you to move. This is very new.
Does it buzz on the sides when you hit
it
the...
It is not quite like that. Like Operation? Is that that game? Operation? Yeah. No, not quite like that. But it is something we just got in the last 30 days, and we have it up and going, and our instructors are prepared to kind of showcase. This was a grant that was written to get it so that we would have more students looking into the sciences and what's to come. We're the only community college in the state of Nebraska that has one. Medical schools have them, and we're the only community college that has one in the state of Nebraska. So if you want to learn more about the human body and organs and location and what happens if one's gone, and we can even make it where the heart is having beats and there's organs pulsing and things like that. So
that sounds otherworldly to me. I can't even imagine that, but that's coming true in all sorts of unique ways nowadays.
Yeah, just another way that technology is coming together. 2 other things would be, we have our entrepreneurship center that will hopefully open in the next few months. We hope at least in the fall. It's going to be in downtown Grand Island on 3rd and Walnut. And an entrepreneurship center for us is going to be, it's going to have incubator space, which is like, I need a place to lease at a lower price, but I also need like a business mentor to write a business plan and kind of get my business launching. So we're going to have that option. And in addition, it will be like a co-working space. So think of remote work people who are like, I kind of need to be around people. I've been in my house too long.
Yeah.
You could come there and work and have kind of shared space. Or if you're like, I need a printer, I need a copy machine. It's going to be there for usage, as well as like a soundproof room for podcasts, video, photography, lighting, those types of things will be there.
So, almost like a maker studio of sorts.
Yes, yes. And it's not to take away from other entities in town that are already doing it. It's just purely supplement as more and more entrepreneurship opportunities come to the Grand Island area. And then hopefully in the next 5 years or less, we'll also have a crime house at Central Community College. So criminal justice is one of our growing programs of study. And so the crime house will be a house, but also have a lab attached to it so that different crime scenes could be analyzed. You know, how do you do fingerprints and then go to the lab and what do you look at? And the goal is to build a small house on campus so that our criminal justice students can have some real life experiences, just like we have simulation opportunities in our nursing facilities and welding simulators and modules. We can do that also for our criminal justice area.
Big changes, fun, exciting changes coming though,
very
it sounds
much.
Like.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to thank you so much for taking the time to sit down and be a part of the Stir Crazy podcast. Michelle Lubkin, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
And this is going to conclude another episode of the Stir Crazy podcast. I really enjoyed those conversations about colleges.
Yeah, I think I learned enough from this to write my own thesis paper about colleges now.
I don't think that's the case, but maybe you did. Who knows?
Well, okay, don't call me for it.
Maybe if you listen to all the episodes of the podcast, those will help you.
I think this is a very educational podcast, yes. So what are we learning about next week, Rob?
We are going to jump into the on-theme topic of state fairs and Nebraska state fair history. The state fair is in town currently right now, so we're going to fill you in with a lot more historic fun content about the origins of that practice and culture.
Yep, life ain't fair unless you're in Grand Island at the moment. Then it is state fair.
Gosh.
That was really bad. Okay, we're just going to cut this off now.
We're going to leave right now. Thank you. We hope you that
doesn't drive you away too much.
Yes. Please join us. Come back.
Yes, please. There'll be better jokes.
No, see won't. You next week.
Bye.
Bye.